Oh my goodness. You know what day it is. Do I know what time it is? No. This is the boss. This is Mission Possible Radio. I hope you're listening. I know some of you are all settled into here live and you're getting a recording. Oh my goodness. Have we really, really, really changed time zones or something? I just never get into it over here in Hawaii. But anyhow, I want to say goodbye. Evening to everybody and good morning to those people and gee whiz, I'm just twisted for a second, but I'm glad to be on the air because I'll tell you something, I got things to talk about. I am prepared. This is a very important, absolutely one of the most important times we have facing us today, this here coming up Tuesday, and the decisions in terms of what is really actually happening in the world at this point in time. And I'll tell you something, I've been very retro these days. I've been going back and looking over the databases in my mind in terms of my own experiences, and I've been looking at it all, and I've been saying, I'm getting awful sentimental. Things are starting to look like deja vu, you know what I mean, folks? You know what I mean? Don't you feel like we have all been here before? We have all been here before. Yes. Well, you know, this is the boss. I am Boss RJ, and this is Mission Possible Radio Show. And believe it or not, I have a method and a reason for my being on this here radio station. And that is that each week as we are propelled forward in the present towards the future, which we can see as certain, for we had a past, and certainly when we begin to examine it, when we begin to look at it and analyze it in general, make generalizations, a lot of times when we make these generalizations, they hold us in place. They really do. You know, last week, for those of you who are listening, I told you it was a buying opportunity, a time for you to be able to get in on board the gold train, the silver train. Now, for some people, they said, well, my goodness, boss, are you just going to just beat us to death with this? I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to beat you to death. I'm just going to every day make you aware of the realities of the world and what's going on and what is of value and how you can preserve your wealth. And as you, who had no wealth, might be able to accumulate some because you listened and you had a good thought, you had a great idea, and you just went with the flow. You know, when you think about the word flow, and then you think about currency, and you think about banks, you think about rivers, you know. And a lot of times we're going to be up the lazy river. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be up there without a paddle. I'm gonna ask my friend over here if she can give me an update on the gold and the silver market to tell me what it is, because I haven't been on the air. Right. 2025 for silver, $975.54. Gold. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means, folks, is that there's something going on in the world. Our indicators tell us that the stock market is really, really hemorrhaging, and people are beginning to make some really decisive decisions about what they're going to be doing in the next couple of years. What are you thinking about doing in the next couple of years? Where are you going to preserve and do and whatever? Where do you think the economy is going? Well, there's a lot of people out there, if you're really looking at it, and a lot of times when you begin to look into how you can save something for yourself, there are always those people out there that want you to be on the side of greedy. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of people out here are showing the way, but there are a lot of people out here pointing the way as to why it is that our government is being ruled by the feds, and I mean the Federal Reserve. And this is embarrassing, folks, that now our society will be based on a weak dollar, that everything that we do will be based on a weak dollar. Can you give me the index on that one, too? What is the index on the dollar right now? 72-something. You know, for a long time before I even got into this thing, you know, we were at 102 when we were looking. Does anybody remember? And for many, many years, we stayed at 80. What am I talking about? Talking about the index. I'm talking about what the bill is worth and where we're going. What's oil? Oh, yeah. Well, I know that it was running around 105. What's important for you to understand is that when you make the move and when they make the move, you're either going to be on one side or the other. Now, what does this mean for everything that's happening Tuesday? Ohio and Texas and a few other states will be deciding, maybe deciding this here race. And, you know, the boss has had some real serious thoughts since I last talked to you all about this race. And I'll tell you, my father taught me a very valuable lesson, and my father was from Texas. You know, we understand Texas politics. We understand it all, you know. We understand that it was Texas back in the 60s and the 50s. It was Rayburn. It was Johnson. Anybody that's listening to this broadcast has to really understand that when you're talking about Texas, you're talking about foreign policy. If you listen to the archives of Mission Possible, you understand that I have done, and maybe next week get a little organized and tell you that the special relationship of foreign relations and Texas, you see, because that's an interesting state, and anybody out there that really wants to understand it, there's a really good book. There's a series of books for those people who want to become up to snuff, and I recommend them highly. A lot of you out there already know, it's incredible. They came around. That's the John Gunther series, you know, Inside America, Inside Europe, Inside Russia, Inside This, Inside That, Inside Out. And he did quite a few, and he did good research. But Inside USA, Inside United States of America, inside that book, when it comes to talking about Texas, when it comes to talking about Chicago, he very, very succinctly explains to you how the machine was working way back when and how it works today. You can see through the evolution of time. And as you begin to do your homework, you can see, oh, my goodness. But beyond that, after Tuesday, Super Tuesday, we may have the contenders for this here race in rat year. And like I've told you before, in a rat race, only rats can win. And it's not that I'm trying to douse anybody. I'm just trying to get everybody to get on the same page when it comes to talking about what it is we get ready to do to elect the President of the United States. What does that mean? We're talking about somebody who's going to want to take executive action. Isn't that right? We're talking about somebody that's going to, we're going to transfer power. We're going to transfer power from one party to another, or maybe power will remain with the party. But whatever you look at, it's going to be a new administration. Why? Because I know that John McCain can't stand George Bush. I know that when you're looking at it all, it's maybe an opportunity for us not to embrace this plan that the Bushes have, but maybe perhaps to break free. But when we break free, we're just getting into the arms of the military and naval intelligence and the whole thing to put the whole thing together. Snap! You see? How it all goes when you have to think. And that's why when you think, if the mission is possible when you learn to discursively think, which means it's that just like light doesn't move in a straight line in space, it's curved, so is my message, folks. For me, I feel like Aristotle or Onassis, you see. It doesn't matter whether or not we go fascist or whether we remain democratic or whether we go totally nuts and everybody just goes gaga, go-go, the executive action, that transfer of power, I get to see it happen. It's like a horizon. It's like that satellite as they were waiting to shoot it down, you know. Snap. Yeah. And when you ask yourself, these are the questions. When you talk about a new administration, you're talking about, is this going to be a smooth and cordial thing, huh? Do you think so? Is this going to be smooth and cordial? Do you have any idea how it looks, folks? When you do it, when you go for the change, now when I think of change and I think about dollars and I think about money, change, it's what's left over. I know I'm just making a little bit of joke, but I'm also trying to show you that when you play with these words, when you ask, be careful what you ask for, you just might get it. Who? And isn't it fair for us if we are to have this dog and pony show where it is all being so nice and neatly decided and a little mud slung here and a little bit of, you ain't all that. You ain't all that either. You ain't all that. And I'm all of this because I'm alone. I've been selected. Closing ranks. Unity, how we look, there's still a history, you see. Our deeds travel with us from far. What we have been makes us what we are. Like the Omega particle. Tag that into your search engines, folks. Go, gaga, go, go. The reason why I'm so discursive tonight is because when the Congress comes back to discuss that which is to be discussed, which is radioactive waste, we are going to hear some of the most incredible rhetoric you have ever wanted to hear, more incredible than when they were making all that waste. And how long has it been leaking in those steel containers, and how deep in the earth can you bury it, and whether or not you can downgrade it, upgrade it, use it for things now, come up with clever ways. We bring good things to light. Jesus, us, yes, in God I trust. In man, I'm not too sure. In my government, even more, I'm not too sure. As I look at the history of the American government, I see it all. But I also see a transformation coming. Yes, transformation. This is structure. You see, if this individual who is coming is willing to consult with the people before making decisions, is able to somehow or another bring together a cabinet of people that can give us some answers to the national security problems by giving us advisors who are very aware of why it is that our derrieres are hanging out in terms of our foreign, not so foreign, domestic policies. Who will be the special counsel to the president? Who will be the lawyer secretary? Who will be the press secretary? Who will be the who will handle the money? Who's going to deal with the economic advisors, and who's going to deal with that which is left? And who's going to deal with the space and all the security and the intelligence and all the emergencies and plannings? Is it all in place? Does he preside? Does he in mainstream change streams? No. Do you really think so, folks? Is it possible for one man or woman to exert influence, to become so industrious all of a sudden, and to have an exceptional ability to direct action and to get things done over all objections to partisan deceptions? Will he have the party's backing? Or will it be more like out there, in here? You know, what does it look like? Could they articulate it for us? Is that what the convention is going to be about, telling us how they're going to do it, how they're going to get us on track after having railroaded us? Executive departments and the agencies. And how will these candidates change the Department of Defense and State? And how and who will be their advisors? Is it fair for me to ask who your friends are? See, I understood it. I understood it all the way back. I understood Nixon. I understood when I looked at it and I saw Brezhnev, or I see Brzezinski, or I see Kissinger. I mean, you could see these people all the way through history. Who are they going to bring up now? What relics out of the closet? What corporate relics or what corporate wonder boys and women are they going to bring out to parade in front of the people? And will the next candidate, this here new president, you know, will they be able to deal with all the right-wing influences in the military? Will they be able to curb the activities of those who get their power and influence from terror and political decisions that are made in back rooms? Can the president be everywhere? Will the states hand over their mantles, and will they do the will of the federal government, or will now we all start to talk about states' rights and where it all the buck stops? Oh. Is it fair for me to ask these questions? Is anybody prepared to answer these questions? Can anybody tell me that these are the things that were written in all the books that were written about the people who now want to run? The way I see it is we got lawyers, and we got naval intelligence. We got Harvard, we got Yale, and we got Annapolis. We got naval intelligence, we got lawyers. That's it, folks. That's it. Anybody want to argue with me? You know the number. Come on, call. Come on and tell me what you think this next president is going to do with me in his executive office. Tell me how he's going to conduct the small-scale wars as opposed to the conventional military wars, as opposed to the nuclear decisions and retaliations that may have to come. tell me how this president is going to get us out of it all. See? Have you really thought about it? Appointing ambassadors. Anybody thought about it? Anybody heard anything? You know, these are the dreams. These are the things that you think about when you're going to be president of the United States of America, when you think about even thinking about running. These are the questions that you ask yourself because you are aware of what your office entails. Oh, yes, you appoint ambassadors. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes, you appoint and you make decisions that will help people. You have Department of Health and Education and Welfare. Are you going to do a major overhaul midstream? Are you going to revamp the nation's welfare programs, or are you just going to let it put a Band-Aid on the headache and send it on out? Are you going to be able to make the people do intensive and extensive analysis in your first year? Are you going to be able to look at the efficiency of the office and make it a place where both domestic and foreign policies can be dealt with and the new presidents of the world can come together within your office and bring a new vibe to the diplomacy and the discussion? What will it look like, America? What do you want this man or woman to do? What are they prepared to say to you? Now, you know me, if you listen to my archives, if you listen, bbsradio.com, just pay you $24.95 and just get into the archives and listen. Listen to what I am saying and how I am saying it. It's very clever. This is a very clever way in which I try to wake you up, BBS. BBS all over the world. You see, BBS, I am not BSing here. This is my way of getting out my investigation. But it's not an investigation that's something I had to learn on CNN or anything like that. No, I live this stuff. These are the words that are used. These are the people that come. These are the press conferences. These are the agencies. This is what comes with the office. The Justice Department. Oh, my goodness. Now, there's another one up here. Anybody talking about that? You see? Can the impact of a personality, can the impact of an administration save us from this here unfair litigation? This unfair which way now with no habeas corpus, the Patriot Act, never. Can you undo it? Can the president's office undo that which is done? Can it create a coalition out of the Southern Democrats and Republicans who stand against, just like Kennedy's years? 60 of them all saying, yeah, what you want and what you're going to get and what we're going to give you. Oh, folks, this is so complicated and yet so simple. It's about structure. And I have to remind you of this, and I will continue to remind you of this. It's for me to tell you I don't have no sponsors because ain't nobody going to sponsor my madness. They don't like the way I speak. They don't like the way I bring the truth. So no one wants to sponsor me because they say nobody's listening to you. Your impact is nada, nil, zilch. Your expression is all wrong, and the state and the people will not listen to you. You are done deal. And I say, well, if I'm a done deal, so is the dollar. And if they're not listening to me, then somebody's buying. You see, it's important. Somebody is buying. The world is buying. Yeah, what problems is this new leader, he or she, going to face? The recession is on the rise. We all know this. The weak dollar policy that the Fed's in the midst of and the international tensions that are coming. Oh, my goodness. Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. Sounds like a Stevie Wonder song. No wonder. Rwanda. You talk about it? You talk about it. Here it is, folks. You have Barack Obama, whose father was a Kenyan, his mama was a I think a Missourian or Kansas. I can't remember. I didn't read the book, but I think she was one of them. But Mama had a name. His mama's name was Stanley Ann. You know, that's okay too. You know, you got a mama named Stanley. It's like a boy named Sue. It's kind of funny. You know, if you work it right, you know, it tells you something about the woman and what she might have had to face all her life as she had to carry that name, Stan. She's Ann, who wasn't a man, but she got a man. She got a black man. She got a black man from Kenya. Well, who else do I know him? See, that's what I'm saying. That's why history, it's so discursive, folks. It's so nice. Because when you say Kenya, then you have to say Jomo Kenyatta. And then you have to say Burning Spear. And then you have to say, could this be deja vu 1962, 1961, independence for Africa, countries being liberated and yet not being financed, only held out carrots for their strategic and raw reserves, and certain people being knowing that at all. When you deal with these people unfairly and you deal with one side, then wars break out, and that's why no wonder Rwanda, Hutus and Tutsis, Arabs and Africans, everybody set against each other. It sets it clear. It was happening back then before Obama was even born. When he was in the womb, when he was being conceived, Kennedy was running. When he was being conceived, his mom and father were pushing not the color line, but the culture line. They wanted the color things. They wanted black and white. This was a marriage, a love affair that brought into the world the being that is now running for President of the United States. And the same can be said for the man from Panama, born in the Navy, John McCain. He wasn't even born on our soil. It then comes down to Hillary. Oh, yes. And what is Hillary? And who is Hillary? How could she be so stillery? I tickle myself sometimes. Yeah, there is going to have to be, and see, that's where the turtles come in, because, you know, the turtles have to just look at this one. I have no one to run. I myself find being president of the United States too limiting. I would love to be an ambassador to some far country from here so I could bring my own form of diplomacy and intelligence to the country. But I doubt that I'm going to be getting a call from the next president because, you know, they just going to have to change their evil ways, baby. Or I'm going to vote for you. You got to change, people. Your style, your politics, your expression to the world. You have to feel me as that I'll feel you. And the impact of your personality will impact me in a positive way, and I'll be moved by your action, not reaction, not by anything other than your intelligence about what you know you're stepping into. You know, Hillary jumping up and down, I can be commander-in-chief, I can be commander-in-chief, I got what it takes. You know, part of the thing that I know is most important about any warriors knows that most times it's not to be offensive or to take up the sword with the confidence that you want to do the job, and only because the job needs doing. And that the whole time you're looking for a way to not have to do that job, everybody go home and, you know, pat their kids on the head and their dogs on the head and their wives on the back. In other places. Anyhow, you know, this is BBSRadio.com, and I know that you're loving what's going on, all two of you who are listening. And how can I tell you that when you look at it, all you can see, it's important for you to understand this, is that we have been backing, and nobody wants to hear this, and I'm trying to figure out how they're all going to do it. Now we even have Cuba, and they continue to want to interfere. Not Cuba, but America wants to interfere and express their desire to do away with oppressive and repressive dictatorships. But we have supported more dictatorships than I care to think about, and we have been responsible for killing of innocent youth and the pulling out after having said that we will cover, and we don't cover, just we go, oops, you see. This is the way America is. This is dirty deal time. And, you know, just because we don't understand or we don't know doesn't mean that we won't be guilty on that, and that the world will indict us, and the international tensions, they're starting to increase, and that's what we're seeing. And I want these candidates to pay attention. What are you willing to do? You know, these are the kind of questions I like to ask. What is the president's urge? You know, what is the sense of urgency? What new expenditures for defense will this president come up with? Will it call up our children? Will it call up the future generation to understand why we must fight the next war? That this is a righteous war? This war is for our survival. This war is for our right to do business. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? I don't hear it. I don't hear that out of Obama. I don't hear that out of Obama. I might hear it out of Hillary and McCain. I'm starting to see something going on, just a glimmer. But I have no idea what words could be said to any of these candidates to allow their arrogance to open themselves up to the idea that maybe they don't know everything. And then perhaps they need to bring in some people that can really articulate what's really going on to the rest of the country and how the coalition of conservative Republicans and Southern Democrats have laid this whole thing out, even down to changing the way in which the primaries go down. This one, the bosses, you see, when I reveal why it is that I call myself a boss, you know, it's for these times like this because I truly understand. And if anybody wants to call in and talk to me about how it works, come on, because you can see it. And you can even see it when you go back to 1972. For those of you who remember, it was a done deal then. And there was a lot of Republicans back then saying, how come it's a done deal? You see what I'm saying? Why is it that we can't go to these conventions and elect the very best of what we have to offer and run that candidate? Why does it all have to be decided? Why does it have to be so neat? You see, but that's the way it is, folks. It's always got to be neat. That's the way it is when it comes to fascism. It's neat, even with our assassinations of our political leaders and political leaders of other countries. It's always neat. It's always a lone assassin, some nut, some person, somewhere, not connected with anybody, got more money than God, travels around the country, can do anything they want, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're a bum, they're a this, they're a that, they're a wing nut, they must be crazy, they did it. You know, does any of these, Kennedy, and the ones who come, like Ralph Nader, who come, and he's always, will you stay down, stay out of this one, let's see what happens when you stay out of it. The real power in this country is in the hands of a very, very devious coalition of people, and they're both Republicans and Democrats. You see, the Stevens Group, these groups in Arkansas, these people don't care, they give money to both sides, this is what you got to look at. And this is so important for you to understand that now more than ever we need people looking at campaign at the way in which these campaigns are raising the money, where its money is going and who's getting this money and where it's coming from. This is why the dollar keeps having these raising up out of the coffin and having these miraculous from the lowest to the not so lowest of the low. Yeah, as everybody is moving their wealth around while everybody else is trying to keep their interest rates down. Are trying to not lose the family farm or the family house that's been in the family forever, but you thought it was a good idea to get into some kind of little mom-and-pop business, and so they took your house as collateral, and they gave you the business, but the business went belly up, and you couldn't get enough in the inventory, and everything was depressed, and now the property value's not, and you're stuck paying for that business, and you're stuck paying for that house, and now you got some kind of disease because they sprayed something in the air, and you can't breathe so good, and you're bleeding from places that you never bled from before, and you got to go to the doctor, but you don't have enough gas because the car's not running, and you don't have enough money to fix it, and so there you sit, and you foment, and you ferment, and you get mad, or you turn it inward and you get depressed and you can't see that you were the cause of it. If you took personal responsibility, you'd have to throw your head back and laugh and ask yourself, you didn't deserve that credit in the first place. But you took the opportunity because you was in crisis and for a moment it seemed like a good idea. You see, and that's how they're going to get us. Let me give you an idea how they're going to get us. All right. My guru, the gecko, just went click, 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 click. So I'm going to lay this one down to you. I don't know. It came across my desk. Anybody heard about this purple Pepsi? Anybody out there who is listening want to talk about purple Pepsi? Now the PepsiCo company has figured out how they can take advantage of this whole idea of antioxidants. Now think about it. They're now going to come out with a beverage. It's called purple Pepsi. You want to put some stupid money down, some useless dollars? It's not a stock right now. It's probably going to be about $3. When it hits, all the stupid sheep who think that doing this is for good, they're going to start mixing their purple Pepsi with their regular Pepsi, and they're going to be getting their antioxidants with their petrochemicals. You see. And for those people, I feel sorry for y'all. But you see, you have to understand, too, this is where are they getting all that there purple for their purple Pepsi? Type it into your search engines. I'm giving you something fresh and new. You can get yourself a sample of it, but I wouldn't drink it. I just show it to your friends as an example of how stupid can get. But they know how much you love purple. They know how much you love things purple, the color purple. This is a good one, folks. Don't go for it. You want antioxidants? Eat that. Eat your apple, eat grapes, eat things, and eat the peels. Go squeeze your own juice. Eat the inside of the orange, that white part. Eat it. Bitter is better. That's what I say. You know, after Tuesday, we're getting ready to look at a dog and pony show. Supreme. Now, I said that before, right? With this dog and pony show, you have to look forward to a done deal. And that's why the turtle is already looking for the next race. All right? So I'm going to sit this one out. But so you can have your POW senator, and you can have your black man senator and your white woman senator, and you can have these lawyers, Harvard and Yale and Annapolis, and you can have Chicago duking it out. You have the Southwest and Northeast or the Midwest all going for it. You got Texas and Ohio all deciding it. This is it, folks. This is as good as it gets. And on top of all of that, I'm going to ask you to remember to watch and listen for Dr. Len Horowitz. You know, he's coming to Portland in May 24th. Those of you who are in the know, already have your ticket, it's $98. You want to talk about it. It is one of the best deals on the planet. And you get to hobnob with one of the absolutely fantastic I guess you could call them a conspiracy because we're all conspiring to tell the truth. And that's what's important, that we all tell the truth. And Jeff Rentz, we're getting ready to celebrate him, unsung hero. Dr. Len is going to bestow it upon him for his good work in supporting all of us by giving a venue and a voice to that which could not be said before in such a way in which it could be heard, to where it could perhaps be digested, regurgitated and looked at and seen if it holds up, and then take it out there and put it out there for people to see. The only way in which people can understand what I'm talking about is to look at how it all works. Look at how it works when you look at it now. Now, Dr. Lanny's right. You know, they're trying to quiet all of us who want to talk about the truth and want to talk about the history, want to talk about the people who developed all of these cancer researches, want to talk about the vaccines, want to talk about how they had to develop the disease, like hepatitis. They had to develop it in a culture. They had to have it in the laboratory. It had to be there in order for them to study it and to create the vaccines. These people are the ones who are responsible for putting these epidemics out here. And it's a coalition of people that are hooked up with universities and the government. This is how it works. Corporations, universities. Universities are corporations. Corporations are universities. Vice versa. Look at the University of Chicago in 1890 all the way up. Responsible for what we get ready to talk about on Tuesday. Because this is important, folks. You've got to look. They're talking about that radioactive waste. Now, I started out with it, and I come back to it again. This is important. 6 miles as opposed to 2 miles underground. Yucca Flats won't be ready for 2 years. The canisters are leaking. You got all this radioactive waste, and there has to be something done. And the Congress is going to be what? It's going to be debating it, and it's going to be informing the peoples as to what they're going to do about it. We are all guinea pigs, folks, as they try to figure it out because they work backwards. It wasn't like they could be like L. Ron Hubbard and witness the disintegration of the atom and to see the possibility of where man can go if he can work mathematically to destruction, how much he can work for construction, for creativity, for the creator to work so hard that when you look at it, you build giant city blocks, synchrotrons, and all kinds of things so that you can understand particles and only have a billionth of a billionth of one billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a time to examine it, for it to exist, before it becomes something else, before it breaks down and it no longer is of use. Isotopes. We just had this big satellite crisis here, missiles, anti-satellite, shooting them out of the sky, only for you to be reminded when you do your homework of how many satellites are up there and how many satellites have, and I started out the show with SNAP. You see, these are atomic batteries. This is how these satellites, these transit satellites that the Navy uses to, since the 60s, to position itself at sea and to do the things. And they have to keep putting them up there because they sometimes lose track or they shift and they do all kinds of things or they don't work so good. What do you think's been happening with all of those? How many of them do you think? Is it for me to do my homework or is it for the next president to ask? How many of them satellites up there you think we're going to have to shoot down now? And when you think about it, folks, why would they use solar panels as opposed to these here very small atomic batteries that work off of plutonium? You see, they cheat us all the time by not telling us these things until it's out of time. This is how it all works, folks. And all I can say to you is that once you understand that you are a volunteer, you are a human guinea pig in this thing, you'll start wondering, oh, wait a minute. This cage is just looking a little too small. Mm-hmm. And wait a minute. We are so, so ready for a discussion. Is that what we're going to get out of this election? Stay tuned. When I think about how we talk about radioactivity and we talk about the permissible levels and when we talk about mutations, I've talked about all of these things on my show. I've told you that in 1947 what Max Muller said about mutations and how we're numbered with so many of them that it's not a good idea to be thinking about adding more radiation to the atmosphere. We're talking about a thing called induced mutation as opposed to natural mutations that are happening through cosmic rays in the sun. Anybody want to talk about that as we talk about what we're going to do with all this nuclear waste for the future? How do we get in on this conversation? We get on the conversation by being made aware of it. That's why you listen to BBSRadio.com. That's why I have a show on this station. We'll continue to somehow or another continue to broadcast and to let you know the truth of the matter. It's getting dark here, and I'm not sure whether or not I'm going to be able to continue without any light. It's very difficult to see. I'm stuck in the phone. I was so unprepared for tonight, and yet so prepared to talk to you because there's so much on my mind and so much you need to really understand about the conversations and the things that are going to happen. But I really want you to pay attention to your Congress this week. And if you have a congressman or a senator, it's time for you to then say to them, what's your stance on this thing about the nuke? Let's not move so fast, okay? It's been 30, 40 years that them things been in them barrels, and they've been leaking for a long time. It's time for us to discuss whose responsibility it is and perhaps do a little bit of sleuthing and understand where all this waste come from and think about the waste that's being made today. And with the whole idea of the Middle East and the whole corridors happening and exploration and peak oil, you know they're trying to make a cause for uranium. These are the kind of things that come over my desk when I am looking in my emails, opportunities to make money come over the boss's desk. A lot of things I just have to look at and go, well, that sure does explain the political tensions over there. That really explains why the price of oil is this, or why gold has just jumped up, why it just bottomed out, why Warren Buffett may be the wealthiest man in the world, why our Federal Reserve, which is not ours anyhow, it's some kind of European thing, is now supporting a weaker dollar. So as we all get ready to be tuned into double-digit inflation, hyperinflation, just like in Germany. You could see it, folks. And like I said, Mission Possible really likes to look at it from a cyclic point of view. And that is to say to you is that history is certainly repeating itself. And yet there are those people who survived it. And you can talk to those people as to what they did. But they saw it coming. And in order to see something coming, you have to have your head up. You have to have your head up. I'm going to take a second here and rearrange things over here in my life so that I can get settled. That's what I loved about it. You know, anybody out there, I'm going to recommend that if you want to understand Boss RJ, then you have to go to MaeBrussell.com. I don't stand on ceremony when it comes to talk radio. I get very comfortable. And then I try to impass upon you, pass to you the information that I have, you know. When I say SNAP, I mean Satellite Nuclear Auxiliary Power Units. These were developed by the AEC, which no longer exists, you know. When you think about these things, I get real sentimental, you know, because, you know, when they were talking about atomic energy and space, when they were talking about it, I was like laughing and going, there's enough nuclear material up in space, you know, and if those guys are right about the Big Bang, then any plasma or nebulous gas that comes in contact with all of this stuff is going to make for a real interesting kind of thing going on. And it's true that, yeah, maybe that's what's happening in the world. That's why we have dinosaurs back there with bones as big as city blocks and all of that, because, you know, radioactivity was so high. But I believe that as we evolved, that all that stuff was put in the ground, way deep in the ground. That's the way God works. If I switch gears and talk like a reverend, God has a plan for all of us, and that's why I have a mission, and a mission is possible. That we, the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long with so little. We now attempt to do the impossible with nothing. Isn't it interesting that the man who's running for president on the Republican side is a Navy man? Snap. You know, it's the Navy that did all the nuclear atomic testing and stuff, you know. If you want to look at how it all works, then you have to understand how they shifted gears and how they move their corporate men and their Navy men and military men and their university men around. One could be wrapped all up, if you look into history, to a man named John Alex McCone. And this man, he used to call the AEC the Macone Island. Tell me, I'm not lying for those of you, the CIA and intelligence people that used to work out there. Why would you have a combination of intelligence and the AEC, all privatized with corporations being the only people that know, and also telling us that it is national security secrets, but yet they are the contaminators of all time, yet they are the people responsible for the mutations and the changes and the leukemias and the cancers. And they are the ones who have developed the vaccines which give us death. They are the ones who are now going to argue with us. They are the ones who are putting the people in power that will then shuffle us off, and I'm not going to Buffalo. Yeah. Satellites. You know, when you talk about nuclear reactors and you talk about the types of things that have happened in the past, when you really begin to look back, go back just to something like, you know, when you look at Canada, and you look at the Chalk River accident, so you look in Idaho, and you look at how back in even just before even Obama was born, there was a nuclear, the first nuclear accident that happened was in Idaho, man, and it leaked, and they didn't know how to deal with it. It took many days to get those three bodies out of there. What were those enlisted men doing anyhow, trying to deal with those rods that were cracked, and why wasn't it scientists? You see what I'm saying? It's like scientists and engineers. That's who do these things, and yet then it's put in the hands of, you know, Neanderthal, you know, enlisted men, and snap. So remember what I said. You looked that one up, snap. It was just something that they used. They were so gaga go-go about it. It was the first time they were able to really see a way to use atomic power, and they used it in space. And so then we come back with moratoriums on nuclear and things in space, and I'm saying, well, how are you going to get all this stuff if it all falls, or we come into photon belts, or something happens? What happens to all of this stuff? It comes down, folks, and perhaps it gets caught up in the stratosphere and the ionosphere and all the other spheres, I fear. Does anybody want to explain to me how and where the strontium-90 is in the world today? Of all the insane playing of the 50s and the 60s, does anybody want to explain to me why it is that you should look out in the spring? Because that's the time when all this stuff is washed down, you know. April brings showers, and that rains down on us. That's the fallout. You know that there has to be something detrimental about it when the United States Department of Agriculture does what? It removes strontium-90 from the milk, but it could only get out 98%, so at least 2% in. But they say that 2% won't kill you. But yet we are now having today problems with calcium uptake, and we're having problems with mineralization uptake, and we're having problems with leukemia and bone leukemia and child leukemia, radioactive poison. as our congressmen and our senators begin to deal with this problem of nuclear waste and the money that they're going to have to spend that they don't have, they better print some more money. They better make it clear or they can't have no more wars. That's what we should tell them. And you have to take care of the waste. You cannot continue to produce waste. And you can't send that waste off to other countries. And you can't downgrade it and low-grade it and allow it to be used as plastics and other kinds of things. Why? Because when you are near radioactivity, it creates mutations, which create changes, which create diseases that we cannot cure. Why? Why can't anybody see this? Why is it that we have to do this? Why is it so hard for people to understand that there is air? That there are things in the air that aren't supposed to be there? And will our next president really understand what our atmosphere's composition is? Will it understand the correlation between CO2 concentrations and where in the world you are? Will it stay up to date? Will we understand how we must now tell the world how wrong we were and how we must now help the world to come to a place where we shun reactor development and we begin to look at those viable patents that have been bought up. Make them bring them down. Make them bring them down. They owe us that much. I make sense. I make sense to myself. I make sense because I live in America. I make sense to myself because even though I live in America, I'm not of America because America has got to come up to better in order for me to get behind her. So I live very, very within my means, which is no means, if you know what I mean. I understand there's a shadow government. I understand you want your hands on that office for just a little longer. Now the Castro's getting ready to go. You can see yourself having yourself one little across the water kind of calm, Prince, as you begin to do whatever it is you need to do. As we begin to look at the African independence of the new day of dependence, as we begin to look at this here he or she president that's coming, as we begin to look at all of the people in the past and all of the Aerojet and Astro this and Westinghouse that and General Electric this, make the connections of the people, put them in their place, make them responsible. Then look at your Congress and those who have been in Congress for so long and ask them, why is it that I see that blood so clearly on your hands, but you cannot? Then look at all of the history of the DNA. It don't take long, folks. DNA, that chemical in the genes. Oh, when they discovered DNA and understood it, and that was just recently. We've been in a world of trouble, but now they can play God. They really understand. But when you understand how simple and yet complex the whole thing is, then you understand why it is that Dr. Len and I work together with the Inside Hour on bbsradio.com, and we will continue to work together now that I understand what's going on here and how we want you to understand what's going on here. And although you may go to the net to get your information, it cannot be as good as that which you can get by doing your homework and reading your newspapers and seeing how the news connects, because the intelligence is there. That's where they put it. They put it there so that they can make it a matter of, and then you read between the lines. This is how you begin to communicate. This is how you begin to relate, folks. You relate through reading between the lines by understanding how the research is done and what the problems that and the solutions to those problems. They have to be proactive, and they have to have clear vision. We can't have another president who's cranky, for sure. We can't have another president who doesn't have friends who are clever enough to be able to think us out of some of these situations, because it's clear that there's a definitive way to behave and then to behave in. Will the next president have any moral authority? Will the next president have any influence? And if so, what? And again, I ask you to ask yourself, who do you think their advisors are going to be? And who do you think he's going to ask help of? And who do you think is going to come to our rescue? Yeah, back when these candidates were coming up, the whole issue was colonialism, racism, education, health, social security, all of these things. And now today, they're still being discussed. Today, the UN Security Council and the UN is being discussing the fragile way in which the treaties and the NATO and this CETO and that OTO or whatever is being conducted. These are all important, important information that must be discussed. These are the things that we now deserve to have a person talk to us about because we're grown up now. Now we're supposed to take advantage and get involved. And it's not about how they look or what they say about each other. It's looking at their track record and seeing if they have even a smattering of understanding as to what that office is and what this here country really needs. Because what this country needs, this country really, really needs to cut back. And where it needs to cut back, I don't even want to get into that tonight, folks. We're going to get into that another time. All I can say is that the boss is wound up and that this is going to be one heck of a year. And after Tuesday, we may have our race decided. And that will be very interesting. However it comes out, it's going to be interesting because, like I told you, our deeds travel with us from afar, and what we have been makes us what we are. And so, therefore, as Doc Lynn says all the time, because it's one of his favorite things to say, the fruit don't fall too far away from the tree, and you know each other by the seeds and the fruit that you bear, whatever, you know, something like that. Paraphrasing. I mean, really paraphrasing. Yes, it is true, the boss does answer to a higher source, and that source is telling me, oh my goodness, that as soon as I get finished blessing you all for the week and to get it to tell you that you have yourself, you have your wealth, you have your wealth, you have the power, and you have the ability to do the impossible with nothing. Oh my goodness, isn't that a wonderful thing? And isn't it a wonderful thing that you can listen to BBSRadio.com? And isn't it a wonderful thing that I will be on time next week and that I will, and I promise you this, we will continue this conversation. Playing back, folks, playing back. There's an opportunity for you to buy in. Take your little shekels, go to your closet, all that chump change you have in your drawer, in your sock drawer, wherever it is you throw it, on your stripper robe or wherever it is. Go take that stuff and turn them into dollar bills and then go turn them into silver. And that's where you remind yourself, take that little bit of change. Here's where we start with the change. It changes by you becoming and empowering yourself in the true value of that which the world is investing in. Because there is a tomorrow. There is a future. And BBS Radio is not just America now. BBS Radio is Europe. BBS Radio is everywhere, all over the world. Wherever it can get in, it's getting in. And it's going to get in with the little discs. It's going to get in with the downloads. It's going to get in by surfing on to other mainstream, not so stream, getting kind of lean, being kind of mainstream. You know, you can see it's building. Isn't it exciting? Every time you look at the website, it just gets more and more and more beautiful, and more delicious. More and more people coming on board, sharing their truth. That is why we. And here at Mission Possible and over there at Inside Out with Dr. Lynn believe that we can conduct this 144,000 voices and that we can all sing the same song together. Yes. And like I said, I practice a tight show. So here we go. I got to say aloha. I got to say that I look forward to talking to you next week. I look forward to, and like my father said, if you can't respect the man, respect the position he holds. And right now, as soon as the decision is made as to who the Republican Party's candidate, which has already kind of been made, unless there's some big brouhaha that might come. But I don't think it's going to happen. And the Democrats, when they decide, then we get down to this thing called the structure, the platform, and the issues. And that's what's so exciting, folks, is when we can get to that point, we can begin to talk about that which is important, which is how does that office and what will that office look like when it comes January 20th, 2009. And even prior to that, as you look at history, it's the decisions and what the president-elect says between the time of November and what the world does and what Bush does. We've got to stay aware and we've got to stay tuned. So stay tuned to bbsradio.com. I can't think of another place where you can get the shots called and where you can get and carry the ball. Good night, everybody. Aloha, y'all. Aloha.